I speak to you in the name of one God who creates us, redeems us, and sustains us. Amen. All right, before we begin, everybody put your bulletin down. Okay, no peeking. We're going to do a quick review. It is the last Sunday of our church year, and next week we'll come back, and the Advent wreath will be up, and we'll light the first candle, and the nativity table will be out, and we'll begin to slowly build our creche as we build up to the big holiday in December. But today, we have a specific celebration that ends our church year. Does anybody know what it is without looking at your bulletin? What is it? Christ the King. I love the nerds out there. Thank you very much. You're my people. Now, does anyone know why we celebrate Christ the King Sunday? Yeah, see, that was me, right? End of the year, well, it's Christ the King. I am sure, I mean, 100% sure that I have learned this many times through the years, but have never retained the fact. But this year is the 100th anniversary of the beginning of observing Christ the King Sunday. And it was started 100 years ago by Pope Pius XI. And he started Christ the King Sunday as a response, wait for it, to growing secularism and nationalism with the rise of the Nazi Party in Europe. The response to growing secularism. The Pope's point was to remind all Christian followers of the supremacy of Jesus above all other rulers, all other governments, all other nations. Period. Pretty bold move for a pope. And as followers of Jesus, we are to put no power of any empire above the ways of Jesus and the will of God as we seek to order our lives. So it's Christ the King Sunday. Yay, Jesus is our King. So why are we reading from the crucifixion? I mean, why not Jesus' glorious resurrection story, right? Far more powerful. So why on this Sunday that we're supposed to celebrate the majesty of the reign of Christ, do we hear a story of Jesus on the cross, defeated with a criminal on either side of him? It is not the glorious moment of Jesus that we like to dwell on. And yet, is not the cross the defining symbol of our faith? This very moment that we hear about, that we read in our gospel, this very moment is a final reminder. It is a final demonstration of who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do and what Jesus is about. It is the final reminder before his death. And as he hung on the cross, over him was a sign that said, King of the Jews, and that was not a vanity plate, it was sarcasm. No person of power, no king in that time would have been killed via crucifixion in the Roman Empire. You would have been given a far more stately death. This punishment of death on a cross was saved for the lowest of the low. And as Jesus hangs there, the crowds and the guards jeer at him and shame him with mocking words. And then one criminal on one side of Jesus decides to join in. And he derides Jesus. And the actual words in Greek for the super nerds out there, the criminal continues to blaspheme Jesus. And he mocks Jesus. Jesus, who claims power, isn't powerful enough in the Roman Empire to avoid the fate of the cross. And yet this criminal in the end jeeringly says, well, save yourself, and while you're at it, won't you save me too? And at that moment, the other criminal speaks up and rebukes the first. The second criminal points to the valid truth that these two criminals are hanging justly for what they have done, but Jesus has done no such wrong. And then, in a moment of profound reverence to the King of Kings, this criminal asks Jesus only simply to remember him, a lowly criminal who believes he deserves to die. This man gives a petition of the heart, simply to be remembered when Jesus comes into his kingdom. And Jesus does not respond with, you had it coming, or, well, you're just getting your just rewards, or maybe you should have made better choices in your life. No, in this final act, from the cross, Jesus grants mercy to this man. Jesus, this man who himself admitted he deserved no mercy. And Jesus gifts this man with forgiveness and mercy, saying, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. This is not the power play that we imagine in our day and age, or 100 years ago when Christ the King Sunday was started, much less at the time of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And yet, it is Christ, this King, who we follow. The King of Kings, who is the foundation of our faith, who shapes our lives. Christ, the King, who regards the marginalized and looks upon those who we think deserve nothing and grants them mercy. And we have been called to follow this response for 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, Christians have struggled to follow the life that Jesus left for us, that he gave us in his own life, to teach and to heal, to give life and meaning to people. And Jesus reminds us that we are to share this mercy with those who we believe are deserving of this grace, and especially to those who we believe are unworthy. That's difficult power to follow. Yet this is the very, very citizenship we are called into in our baptism. And following this King of Kings is the defining citizenship over all others as we order our life. So the question before us today, 2,000 years after the crucifixion, 100 years after the reminder of a special day in our year of who it is we are to follow, the question for us today is, where can you and I, where can we together be an extension of unwarranted mercy? Well, for starters, the holidays are here. And for those who will go to family celebrations, there might be a bit or a lot of undercurrent going on. Familiar to anyone? And yet, whether it's our family gathered at the table, our neighbor, our coworker, what would it look like for us to reframe these people? What would it look like for us to reframe our conversation with the lens of Jesus, with this lens of mercy and forgiveness? How can you and I take up the cross that Jesus reframed as a symbol of mercy? How can we more fully embody the truth of the very cross so many of us wear and that adorns our churches? For we are now called to take up that cross once again and to become bearers of God's love and God's forgiveness and God's mercy and grace. How can we receive the witness of Jesus's dying act? How can we receive that so that we better value relationship over judgment? I think it might be easier to cook a flawless Thanksgiving dinner than to practice such mercy, but here we are. So as we sit this week gathered around the table with friends or family, or at community meals, or anywhere we may find ourselves, I ask you to take a minute to look around, to see those you are gathered with through the eyes of Jesus, and then take up your cross and be the presence of mercy and love and compassion. Amen.